Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, without any further ado, our special guest will be on here. Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL, NFL draft reporter. Ryan, what's going on, man? You got Taz here and AB. How's it going, bro?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate you jumping on, man. So we just heard Marco in his update talk about Justin Herbert, Oregon quarterback, coming back, to Oregon for his senior year, going to skip the NFL draft. Your opinion, did he make the right decision?
That's a two-part question. Yes, he did, because he didn't have a great year.
Right.
He came into the year, he was the guy that everyone thought was going to be the first overall pick. He got outplayed by Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, who we don't know if he's coming out, but he got a first-round grade from the advisory board last week, so it would make sense for him to come out. He'd be the first quarterback taken, maybe the only quarterback to go in the first round. And Justin Herbert's season was up and down. He was inconsistent. He had 8 interceptions. I think he had one game between his last regular season game and September 29th where he completed more than 60% of his passes. That's a problem. If you're looking for an NFL quarterback who can step in and start making throws right away, that gives you some pause for concern. I know John Elway said he made the right decision. I understand what he was doing. And I think John Elway's right. And the only reason I said it was a two-part question is because next year is going to get incredibly more difficult for Justin Herbert.
Absolutely.
To be the number one overall pick. There's Tua, there's Fromm out of Georgia. Patterson.
Yep.
So there are guys that are going to be in the mix for that first overall pick. And that could cost him a lot of money. Now, I think his family is well off enough where he doesn't necessarily need a lot of money. I think that had something to do with he loves college. He wanted to play with his brother, like you guys just mentioned. So it's not a situation where he has to support his family. So maybe that's not important to him, and that's good. But if he wanted to be the first guy taken, if that's something that was important to him, this year would have made a lot more sense than last year. But that said, NFL executives are going to be much happier a year from now that he went back. Unless you're one of those teams that are terrible now and end up going 7-9 next year and miss out on them.
Ryan, I'm lazy and I didn't go back and actually find proof for this thought. Maybe you know it, but the one thing I keep thinking about with his decision is that the more guys I remember ended up hurting themselves by going back to school than actually improving their draft stock. It just seems to me like when the first chance you got to go, you should go in almost every situation.
Well, I think sort of what that means is that you weren't going to be a good quarterback either way. The only thing is you lost out on that money because you come out a year early. I think Barkley is an example of that. I think he went back, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Matt Barkley.
And Leinart,
yes,
too,
yes,
right?
Leinart, too, I think.
And who? I'm sorry.
Matt Leinart.
Leinart.
And Leinart, too,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Carroll was bad talking.
So, maybe they're not the best examples.
That's right. But that's right. So those guys missed out on the money. Maybe it was the case they were never a great quarterback. All Matt Barkley needed apparently was to go to Buffalo to be realized as a much better quarterback than we originally thought he was. Playing next to Nate Peterman to do that for you. But up to that point in his career, things didn't go like we had thought. I think he was a fourth-round pick. We know that Sanchez, they traded up to get him in the top 10, maybe even the top 5. I can't remember. That was back in 2009. And he went to the AFC Championship game back-to-back years, and that was because of Rex Ryan's defense. There was really not much else there that Matt Leinart was doing. So that is, there is something to consider there. And I do – that's what gives me pause about Herbert. Does he need the money? Does he want to be the top quarterback taken? And if no is the answer to both those questions, I think it only helps him in terms of development because he is insanely athletic. He's 6'6". You know, he can throw the ball out of the stadium and all the other things we typically say. But if you're not completing passes at a 55% clip, you're not going to make it 2 weeks, 3 weeks in the NFL. It'll be like that Blake Bortles clip we just heard.
Right.
Well, I'm trying my best. I don't know what's going to happen after 4 years. So in the long run, I think it makes sense. We'll find out in 3 or 4 years if he's really an NFL-ready quarterback. But I'm not sure coming out early hurts him unless he wanted to get paid.
Okay. Hey, right. So AB and I were talking earlier a good amount about Baker Mayfield and about, you know, who should get the who should be basically the front runner, who's going to get to be the offensive rookie of the year. You know, a lot of folks, I think, at the beginning of the year would think Barkley from the Giants, you're running the ball up and down the field. But I think Baker, you know, and according to Bovada, by the way, Baker is now the odds-on favorite to win the offensive rookie of the year. So I want to get your opinion on that, man. Do you think Baker should get that award? Do you think he will? What's your thoughts?
So the Giants are 5-10.
Right.
Since Baker took over and since they punted Hugh to the curb, the Browns are 5-2. I'm giving it to Baker. I love Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley did not change the face of this team by simply showing up and doing what he's done this year.
Right.
Fantastic player. You can make a good argument that he should have been drafted second overall. Giants fans would disagree with you, I would imagine.
Right.
Baker came in. They started Tyrod Taylor. That team was a disaster. They kicked Hugh to the curb after 2 months, and everything turned around magically. I think Greg Williams had a lot to do with it. That already good defense had a lot to do with it. Using Nick Chubb more had a lot to do with it. But if you left Tyrod in there, there's no way that team goes 5-2 over the last 7 weeks. And that is Baker. Baker is taking control of that team. I love them coming out. I had no issue with them taking him first overall. It's worked out perfectly, except for the first 2 months where Hugh Jackson was doing his own thing. But since then, look, if they win on Sunday and the Steelers lose, those teams will have the exact same record. That should blow your mind.
Right, right.
And Baker has a lot to do with it. So, yeah, he's my number one guy. And Saquon can get runner-up. But the reality is that Baker's done much more for his team in terms of wins than Saquon's been able to do for a Giants team that's been bad for most of the year.
Let's stay with Cleveland. They obviously have a head coaching decision to make. Would you stay with Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens, or are you looking elsewhere despite this success over the last month plus?
I think Greg Williams is full of a lot of things. But he's not my number one guy, but he has turned me on to Greg Williams on the way that he's coached his team up, and they have bought into what he's doing. I think Freddie Kitchens has done a fantastic job. I don't know if he'll get some head coaching looks this offseason based on that performance, but he has single-handedly turned around that offense, making things work much better for the players that he has, something that Todd Haley apparently wasn't capable of doing. And they both deserve a lot of credit. If it ain't broke, I feel like you stick with what you have. Greg Williams has coaching experience. You know, to hear Greg Williams tell it, he interviewed 47 to 57 times over the last 5 or 6 years, turned them all down. But this worked out perfectly for him. He's doing a great job.
He is.
And there's no other way to put it. And I think you have to give him serious consideration, especially when Jimmy Haslam, their owner, has a history of just burning through guys because he's not sure what's going on. They know what's going on. You have what appears to be the right guys in place. Baker seems to be happy. I don't know why you would change
it. The whole team, right? They're all responding offensively, defense. They're just responding. And, you know, by the way, we're speaking with right now, our guest is Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL and NFL draft reporter. Ryan, so we're speaking on that, Black Monday, right? It's just 4 days away. So we were just talking about Cleveland vacancy and if Williams would just stick there, which I think they should, and get opening at Green Bay. Realistically, how many openings do you think we're gonna see when it's all said and done?
Yeah, this is going to get interesting. I don't know what's going to happen with Marone in Jacksonville. He may be okay. Todd Bowles is in trouble. Steve Wilks, the first-year coach in Arizona, is in a lot of trouble.
I think we have to watch that.
Yep. Matt Patricia's done an absolutely terrible job in Detroit. There was a report yesterday that he can't even show up to his press conference.
Yeah, we were talking about that, dude. It's unbelievable.
Here's the funny thing, and someone pointed this out on Twitter. How many times do you think that Matt Patricia showed up late to his own team meetings when he was with the Patriots?
Never.
Exactly. So Dirk Cutter is going to have some things to work out.
Yeah.
There's been some conversations about Ron Rivera in Carolina, but I think he may be okay. I don't know what's going on in Washington. They're firing all the wrong people. So Bruce Allen's still there, their GM. I don't think it's Jay Gruden's fault, but that place is a mess. So what's that, 4 or 5 teams? And then the issue becomes, do you have people ready to take those jobs? Because there's one Sean McVay, and there's one Kyle Shanahan. Everything else, it's sort of a crapshoot. John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator who was fired a few weeks ago in Minnesota, he was a hot coaching candidate until Mike Zimmer said, you're not doing what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah, that cooled them off.
The offense is terrible. We'll get some other guy who's been here for 15 years, and he'll do your job. So that's the plan B of that. Mike McCarthy and Jim Caldwell apparently have interviewed for – what was the job they interviewed?
The Packers.
Packers,
thank you. Yeah. So that wasn't Mike McCarthy. That was Caldwell, thank you. There's a lot to sort out. But do you have a guy in the waiting that can take over that job? And part of me wonders if they get rid of Greg Williams in Cleveland, he may not be able to work long.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that.
Ryan, let me go back to the beginning of our conversation and the draftable quarterbacks, and we don't know yet what Haskins' plans are, but just walk me through him as a pro prospect, because between Kyler Murray and Tua and even all the Urban Meyer drama around Ohio State, I feel like we've paid so little attention to him. What does he bring to an NFL team whenever he heads to the draft?
Well, he's got the size, 6'3", 220, and so that's one box you can check off. He completed 70% of his passes this year. In those last two games where they blew out Michigan and Northwestern, He completed 75% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, one interception. So it's not an issue of, okay, is he consistent from one play to the next, from one series to the next. He's plenty consistent. He throws a beautiful deep ball. He's very comfortable in the pocket. And look, this is a guy who only threw, who only took 40 attempts in 2017. So he doesn't have a ton of experience, and that could be one pause for coaches and GMs and scouts. But after what he's done, I think he had close to 400 attempts in 2018. He's got one more game to go. He's comfortable in the pocket. He makes all the throws, is what we like to say. He's not a runner, but he's mobile in the pocket. He can run for 5 or 6 yards if he has to. Great composure. So it feels like that's a guy you look at and you go, okay, there's not a lot to do here. There's some little things here and there. Needs a little more experience. He doesn't have to start right away, perhaps. But, man, there's a lot to like. And you compare him to Justin Herbert, who athletically is off the scales, but not doing the little things that you want him to do, it's a no-brainer. And I think Haskins, Rose Bowl, Washington on January 1st. So I would watch that game closely if you have any, if your team needs a quarterback, and just you'll be picking your jaw off the floor more than once because he does, it's so much fun to watch. And he sort of came out of nowhere because he's a redshirt sophomore.
Hey, listen, Ryan, I'd love to get your thoughts on, you know, as you know, first time ever, right? We had a bowl basically go to a no contest, right? Between BC, you know, Boston College and Boise State in Dallas. There was the first responder bowl. And they played a few minutes of the game, and actually, no, lightning strikes, and it was supposed to be lightning throughout the whole area of the Dallas Metroplex area. And they never even attempted to make the game up and all that jazz. Thoughts, opinions, statements on
so
this?
I was doing some things around the house with my kids, and I taped the game because I wanted to see Brett Rippon, the quarterback from
Boise State,
who a lot of people like.
He's good.
BC has a few guys that could go in the first or second round. And then I checked Twitter, and they said the game's been canceled. It didn't make sense to me. I've never heard of anything like that, so I checked quickly, and I heard about the lightning delay. But, okay, fine, there's lightning delay. And the rule is if you see lightning in the college football game, you have to wait 30 minutes. And then they saw lightning 27 minutes into it or something, so they waited another 30 minutes. And I guess they just got tired of waiting. But here's my point. If you flew from Boston or Boise to Dallas to watch this game, your family's in the game, you have friends in the game.
It's a nightmare.
You're there for 10 minutes. What are you doing? I guarantee you, well, I won't guarantee you, I would imagine the First Responders Bowl isn't interested in refunding these people's money because it was an act of God or whatever.
Yeah, no, what they're doing is they're offering tickets for next year. It's like, well,
that's right. So I can go see two teams that I don't know.
That's what I mean. That's like, so if your kid plays for Boise State and, like, he's a senior who got, unfortunately, couldn't play. So, you know what? I got those tickets. Let me fly down to Dallas. Come on.
That's what we're doing for Christmas.
Yeah, we're going to go watch
a terrible look. There's no easy solution. You can't make everyone come back together and do it. I don't know what the rush was. I don't know if they needed the stadium later that night for a concert or something, but it's a terrible look. And, you know, we have the argument is we have too many bowl games already. So maybe the First Responders Bowl is one that people won't be interested in agreeing to play in if they know that these type of things are going to happen.
All right, Ryan Wilson right here. Thanks, man. We appreciate you coming on, dude. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Take care,
thanks, Ryan.
That's Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL, NFL draft reporter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.